Well, I appreciate your prayers today. I'd like to emphasize this morning just how important it is to for us to have the Lord in our lives to lead and guide us, to help us to critique us in our thinkings and to help us to understand how to live life. I don't know everything, and the one thing I do know is that I don't know much, and the longer I go, the more obvious that is. And so I know that I need the Lord to help me when I get into a pattern of thinking and I'm convinced that I know what I'm thinking is right and that I've got it right, and then to find out later that I was wrong. And that's not fun for me. I don't like that. I need the Lord to help me to get it right. Me and my wife was talking recently about the idea we shouldn't judge one another. If you judge, you should make a righteous judgment, but there's a real reason why you shouldn't judge things so much is because we're prone to not understanding everything about it. And we're prone to missing information, and there's sometimes that the sequences of life will fit together to make you think something has to be a certain way, and it's not that way. And the person may not even thought about it or been even known anything about the sequences that seem to influence what you think about them, but you still think that they were influenced by that and they just happened to have been there and done something. And you don't know how to judge that because you don't see everything. So the Lord tells us not to judge one another about matters like that because we're too faulty about it. And it's not good to do. But I want to emphasize today the Lord Jesus leading and guiding and help us in life, because there's times that just our makeup and the way we are will want us to set us in a certain place and we don't know everything. So we need the Lord to help us to be able to understand really what he'd have for us. Over in Matthew, the 12th chapter, at the first verse it says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said to them," now, see, here's a circumstance of understanding. I'm not going to suppose that the Pharisees really wanted to understand. There was a lot of places in the Bible where the Pharisees really didn't want to understand. They said to the Lord one time, "Where do you get your authority from?" And he said, "Let me ask you a question first, and you tell me the answer, then I'll tell you where I get my authority from. John the Baptist, was he of the Lord? Was he of God or not?" Now, the Pharisees really didn't want to understand things. They wanted to cause trouble. They wanted to back a system that they had regardless of whatever it took to get. They wanted to back it in the face of truth. They wasn't interested in really what the truth was. They ended up saying, "Now, if we tell him that he wasn't from God, the people will stone us because they're convinced he was a prophet. And if we say yes to him, he's going to say, then why don't you listen to him?" Why didn't they listen to him? Folks, we need the Lord, but in order for us to accept the Lord, we're going to have to be sincere. Totally sincere about the desire we have to serve God. When we're completely sincere, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I've got a pattern, Lord, I've got a pattern of thinking. I was raised a certain way. I got a certain disposition. I got all these things. But Lord, I'm willing to go where you lead me. I'm not talking about being wishy-washy, folks. I'm not talking about not having something to stand on. I'm talking about standing on something that's solid. You know, if we make up our minds about something and close off the avenues of understanding before that truth's there, we'll never get that truth. So, Lord, help us to be pursuers of God's truth, willing to take this in. I would have always in my life been somebody that said, keep the law. You don't keep the law? That's it. Keep the law? That's it. Keep the law? What are you talking about here? And the Lord comes around and throws a real block to these people. It's against the law to do what you've done, they told him. It's against the law. We don't do that. We follow law. Well, I don't mean to complicate this, but this is the way it says it. He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Understand that, okay. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Well, how could that? It makes me think that I don't understand everything the way I should. It makes me think I might lay a judgment on somebody that don't need the judgment laid on them. It makes me to think that if I don't have the Lord consistently helping me in the patterns of my thinking, helping me to understand things that are way beyond me, then I'm likely to err. Lord, help me with mercy and pity to look at my fellow man and my own situation, but help me to be able to be Christ-like, Christ-minded, and help me to be open enough for the Lord to help me to understand what He's doing, what He's trying to do, and what He's trying to accomplish. If we don't have the Lord, we're going to mess up. Now, this is the pattern of my messages. It's just over the years, it's just been this. I just preach a lot about having a personal relationship with the Lord. I just do, because it's the answer to all the problems. Having a relationship with the Lord, to where you can get answers from the Lord, where you're sensitive to the Lord, is the answer to all of this. We have a wonderful system the Lord give us. We're to be within bounds. The perfect law of liberty, the gospel, is wonderful. I was telling my family yesterday, I said, you know, church standards is like a fence along the highway. That's what it's like. If you're out there on the highway, you're likely to get run over. But righteous, good-willed, sincere people that care about themselves and others is going to want to be on the other side of that protection. I don't want to risk my soul to being run over. And there's good, solid barriers there. But it don't help to pick somebody up and throw them over it. They'll just climb back over into the road eventually. Anyway, there has to be a desire there to get on the other side of the fence and stay on the other side of the fence. But I don't want to be on the other side of the mountain and don't even see the road. The fence is to get us as close as we can and to be able to be protected from it, from the influences of it. Lord, help us. I don't even know the difference sometimes unless the Lord helps me. Lord, if somebody's coming out there, should I go get them? Well, I'm risking myself to go get them, but should I get them? Should I step into that and get them? No, the law said, Lord, I don't know. Then what do I need? Somebody to tell me. I need somebody by His Spirit to lead me into that I know this is what the Lord would have me to do. The Lord wants to lead and guide us. He said, have you not heard about this? Do you not believe that there could have been an exception within this? And this is what the Lord said about it. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And that's what I want to think about this morning, is the one that's greater than the temple. Because there is one that's greater than the temple, greater than the system, greater than everything else that there is. There's one that's greater than that, that wants to influence you and our lives, so that we can say, I'm here on the Sabbath day, and I'm hungered, and I haven't eaten for days, and there's corn here, and can I eat it? No, they're hollering over here, you can't eat that. No exceptions to anything. You can't do that. But the Lord said, eat. Because he said, I am the lawgiver. I know why I made that law. I know what the exceptions of it was. And it's okay when you're hungry like that to eat. It trumps it. Now, I don't know how to say that in everything in life, but you know the Lord does. We need an experience with the Lord in our lives that can lead and guide us and help us. And we need to know how to get a hold of the Lord and where he's at and what he's doing. He said, I'm greater than the temple. There's one here before you now that can answer all your questions about the scriptures because I inspired them. I wrote them. I'm the center of them. I know what all there is to know about it. Ask me and I'll tell you about these things that are in there. The Lord on many occasions did these things to the Pharisees. They weren't sincere. But Nicodemus came along, was a Pharisee. He came along in his sincerity and said, we know thou art of God. Acknowledged right off, you're of God. Nobody can do these miracles that you do unless God be with them. But I don't understand. I don't understand this. I know you're of God. The witness is hit there, and I can't be a hypocrite about it. But what's going on? This don't make sense to me. You seem to be shattering the law. You seem to be shattering what we believe in. He didn't say all that, but I think it was there. And Jesus then says to him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Born again. The only thing I can understand about that is, can a man return to his mother's womb? I mean, that's shallow, isn't it? What did you expect him? He never heard that before. This was a grown man and of wisdom and understanding. He was in a certain place. He couldn't have been ignorant. He couldn't have been, he's ignorant, but he couldn't have been unlearned. He knew things, and yet he didn't understand that. How can these things be so? Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, how can you be a master in Israel and not know this? There's an easy answer. I've never known you, Lord. How can I know the mysteries of these things without a connection? Well, unless you tell me. Another one, didn't they say, was going along and who was it? Philip came up to him and said, you know what you're reading? Well, how can I know? How can I know unless somebody tell me? How can I understand these mysteries and these understanding? How can I know that unless I'm being instructed? How can you see into heavenly things and spiritual things being a carnal, fleshly person? Well, through salvation and the Spirit of the Lord as he leads and guides us into those kind of places. But when we begin to set solid places without understanding, it can hinder us from getting to those kind of places. And Lord, help us to have a connection, because I think one of the most wonderful experiences that I have is the fact that the Lord cares enough about me that if I start erring, he'll let me know. Has anybody else in here ever been, the Lord actually just stopped you and let you know you ain't thinking right? Boy, I've had the Lord do that in some real dynamic ways before. And maybe I'm a subject that gets a lot of it, but I'm glad for it. I'm thankful that the Lord, just recently, I had a certain thing in my mind, seemed all righteous to me, seemed like where I ought to stand, and I'm telling you, just all of a sudden, the Lord come and said, told me exactly where I was at. It humbled me. It made me feel shamed. But it also made me take care of it the way I should have took care of it. And I never would have come up with that, but the Lord told me, this is what happened and why. And this is what was in your mind to cause it. And I was like, oh, Lord. I thought I was so right. Well, it made sense. I added everything up. And that's what come out. It's just that there was a lot of things in there that I didn't put in. Because I didn't see it or understand it. And the Lord let us know, we need to be connected to that vine as branches. We need to be connected to that vine to be able to get the truth. And whatever you think you know today, you be careful with what you think you know. And commit that to the Lord to say, Lord, you can critique what I think I know at any time. We are now, we have one that's greater than the temple. And I want to say that salvation experience is about the one that's greater than the temple, than the temple. We are part of a group. We're part of that. That's all wonderful. It's all great. We got here at the chapel today. All those things that go along into it. But we have contact with the one that's greater than the temple that can explain the temple to us. That we can have a better understanding of the process and what the Lord wants to do. I want to look at a scripture in Judges. Judges 6 and 36. There's a man of God. Was interested in being prosperous. Leading God's people. It said, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Well, he's in a place. He needs an answer. He needs an answer because he don't know. And you know, you can look at the appearance of things through your eyes and say, we've got more and better army than they have. We have the high ground. Militarily, we're set to win this victory, so I'm going to predict a great victory. And you know, you can be wrong. With all of that, circumstances may totally change and you can totally lose. But you can look at the circumstances and say, they've got 10 times more army than we do. They got horses and chariots. They got the high ground. There's no way we can win a battle like this and be wrong. So Gideon goes to the Lord and said, Lord, what is it? What a valuable thing today. Do you know we have the privilege, the absolute privilege of going to the Lord with our distresses, our wonderments, whatever we have? We have the absolute privilege of going to the Lord and say, help me to understand this circumstance. Help me to be what you would have me to be if I don't understand it. If you ain't willing to reveal things to me at this time, Lord, help me to be the right person in this. You know, we have people in our lives that we want to see saved. Anybody want to stand up and tell me how confident you are that you won't make a mistake in those dealings? That you know the exact timing, you should say, you know exactly how to do it, you know what to do. I would say nobody's going to risk it. I wouldn't risk it. You know, we need the Lord to help us to understand the situations of being able to be a servant of the Lord. When do I go in here? How do I pray when I get there? Do I invite him to service now or do I wait to invite him to service? How do I do this? And you say, well, I'll just do what the temple says to do. I thank God for the temple, but there's one greater than the temple. We can sit and say, let's all get together. We're wise men. Let's get together and we'll make a pattern of witnessing. And we'll go out two by two and knock on people's doors on Saturdays and read them a tract and say, this is what you do. No. I tell you what you'd be better off to do. Is find out what the Lord is doing. And how the Lord wants us to respond to different things. I don't think the Lord is just willing. I don't think the Lord's mind is that I'm just going to make them, every time they step closer, I'm going to step two steps back and keep them going. Just keep them coming. Just to watch them come. I don't think the Lord plays with us like that. I think He wants to see sincerity and diligence in us. And I think when we take a step closer, He takes a step closer to us. When we come another step, He comes a little closer. I think He wants to reveal to the honest soul where the boundaries are and what He wants us to do. Gideon is in that kind of a place. He needs the Lord. And he knows where to get the answers at. He didn't go and get a council here. He didn't go make a league with Egypt. He didn't go make a league with somebody else. No, he went know where the answer's at. I'm going to go to God. Now, I want to tell you something about the enemy. Every time you make a league with the enemy, it'll cost you more than you want to pay. You don't make leagues with the enemies. You want to go say, I'm going to go get Egypt to help me fight? Well, that may sound real good, and they might be a good army, but you're going to owe them something that you can't pay. Nobody does it for nothing. Gideon, behold, he says, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. You know, I don't know. Again, I don't know everything. Don't know all this stuff. But I know that Gideon had a sincere heart, and this was the way he communicated with the Lord. He wanted the Lord to communicate back. It's one thing to pray. We can pray, but we want to hear something, know something. By dream, prophet or priest, something. Give us something through your word. You ever had the Lord inspire the word to your heart? You're looking for an answer and the inspiration of the scripture. Oh, we know it's in the scripture, but it comes with more than word. It comes with a power. It comes with a spirit in it. And you know the Lord just said something that you can say that's true. That's right. On that, there may be a lot of ways of us reaching out to the Lord. I don't know. He had a fleece. You may have something different about yours. I mean, the people have had those kind of things. There was a time in the scriptures, I think, I think the replacement apostle was chosen by lot or something, wasn't he? And they simply said, we don't know. Who can know who's supposed to be that? Can we pick one man over the other? Look in this crowd and say, okay, you two over here is going to start preaching. I'll pick out some Sunday school teachers. You guys go out on the street this evening. I sat up here and say that, but wouldn't be no good. They didn't know any better either, but they said this. I don't know how to pick which ones, but the Lord knows. Lord help it to fall. I'm sure they were sincere. They are sincere. They needed an answer for something that they didn't know. And so they asked the Lord. Well, I don't know. George Mueller wrote about that. He said he tried that and said, I'll never rely on such a motive again. I'm going to rely on diligent prayer and contact with the Lord, that the Lord answers in a way that cannot be denied. Well, Lord help us. I think the Lord wants to do it. Gideon's way was he put a fleece out and he said, let it be wet. Lord, if you're in this, let it be wet and the ground dry. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together, and he wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. Well, now I think that's convincing, don't you? Don't you think that's convincing? The ground was dry, and the fleece had absorbed a whole bowl full of water in it. It wasn't like that he fell on the top of it and said, hey, that feels wet. Honey, come here. Does this feel wet to you? Yeah, it's kind of wet. Maybe that was an answer of prayer. No. He wrung out a bowlful. I'm telling you. But, folks, I don't know everything. Is there weather patterns or is there a scientific reason why maybe a fleece would suck up enough water to do that when the ground was dry around it? Maybe there's a natural reason for it. So this is important. Folks, our soul's important. This is important. This thing's important to know other people's souls are important. This is important. So I lay something out there and said, now Lord, if it rains this week, I'm going to take that as me getting to do something that I want to do. Fleeces can be awful dangerous if you ain't sincere. Because you'll set one that's just bound to come happen. You get one that's almost 99% to happen. Lord, I want to do something, but I don't want to go against you. So if the wind blows in Oklahoma sometime in this week, I'll take that from you. I'm going to put the burden on the Lord to stop the wind for a whole week so that I will be changed to do something that I wanted to do anyway. No, I'll tell you, if I was sincere, what I would say, Lord, I'm going to lay a fleece before you. And if I can do this, don't let the wind blow in Oklahoma for all week. I mean, not even a stirring of a breeze. Because I'm sincere. I want to know, Lord, I really want to know what your mind is. How you want me to respond to this. So Gideon gets his, the Lord showed him. And Gideon said unto the Lord, I can get this because that was pretty dynamic. But Gideon starts wondering a little bit. He ain't doubting the Lord. He's doubting himself. He ain't doubting the Lord and who he was. But he wants to know for sure. So he comes very humbly to the Lord and said, now, Lord, he said, let not thine anger be hot against me. And I will speak but this once, and let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground, let it be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. So the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I'm going to tell you, God's willing to do that. And so he gave him a witness, but he wanted to see it stronger. He wanted to be sure. You know, God loves it when we want to be sure. He wants us to be right. When we have a desire to be right, he asked the Lord, now don't be hot at me. I mean, this is a lot, but I want to ask you again, would you step into this realms and do this again? Do you know that all the universe is at our God's disposal for us? He can do whatever he wants to. And it's amazing what God can do. I'll tell you what he did for me one time. One year we had this beautiful blossoms of our apple trees and our pear trees and peaches. Everybody's was just, it was that time of year and it had been so pretty and they blossomed out. And then we got the news, the news report, weather report was, is that we're going to have two frosty, frosty nights that, I mean, they was given, get your plants in. All this, and oh, I was just heart sick. We hadn't had fruit for a while, and it was like, oh no, it's going to be killed again. And so I was praying, Lord, spare our fruit, spare the fruit. And so the first night that it was supposed to be frosty and down cold and everything, it just didn't quite get there. So I get up, and there was no frost. And my faith was so high. I mean, they said it was going to be that way. And God spared us. There was no frost. And I was convinced the Lord did that. You believe the Lord do that? I believe the Lord did it. and made it to be so. And so my faith was so high then, and I was so sure that the Lord was going to do it the next night. The Lord was going to spare it. And I got up the next morning before the sun got up real early and pulled the curtains open, and it looked like snow out there. The frost was so heavy. Oh, and I was like, oh no, I was so sure that the Lord was going to spare the fruit, and that I was just like, oh no, everything's going to be gone now. And yeah, in a little bit, I looked out there before the sun ever come up. I looked out there and I seen everything starting to drip. The car started dripping. I thought, what is that? I stepped out and there was this warm breeze had come through there and washed. If the sun don't hit the frost gently, there's nothing. It doesn't hurt anything. And that warm breeze come through there and everything just went dripping and wet and just run off. And the Lord spared the fruit that year by that warm breeze. I don't know everything. Understand? I don't know why he let it frost and blew it off. I don't know everything. And you don't know everything either. And when we start thinking that God's going to do something this way or it can't be done, you're making a mistake. God can do a lot of things that you don't even think about. So Gideon said, do it, Lord. You did it this way, but can you make the ground wet now and the fleece dry? And it was so, because he was sincere and really wanted to know, and the Lord led him to know. There's another scripture we'll look at over in Daniel. The second chapter of Daniel. There's quite a reading here. I'll start and read a little bit of it, but it's first verse. It says, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream wherewith within his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded, call these magicians and astrologers and sorcerers, and all them. And anyway, the king comes and says, and you can read it there, but the king comes and says to them, said, I had a dream that really disturbed me, and I want you to give me the interpretation of the dream. And so the astrologers and all says, okay, king, give us, you tell us what the dream is, and we'll give you the interpretation of. And in my own language, he said, I forgot. It left me. I know I'm troubled in my spirit. It really bothered me, but it's been took from me. I don't know what it was. It's so disturbing. I want you to tell me. That's what I got you guys for. To tell me what the dream was. And they said, well now king, they ain't another king. You gotta be reasonable here. No other king except for you would ask something like that. Nobody else asked something like that. You tell us the dream and then we'll give you the interpretation of it. And Nebuchadnezzar gets fed up with these guys and says, listen, you all tell me the dream and the interpretation of it or you're phonies. Now you come up with this or you're phonies, and if you, and you're gone. Okay? This was the scene. So they report this to Daniel, and Daniel is in agreement with that. They said, what man of the whole earth? There, you wouldn't find a man on the earth that can do that. You agree with that? I agree with that. They ain't nobody can tell you what you dream on your pillow. I know somebody that knows what you dream on your pillow. I know the one that's greater than the temple. There's one that's greater than the temple that's got the interpretations of it. And he knows why he made us to dream to start with. He knows how we dream, what we dream. He knows how to interject information into our dreams. He can give us dreams. And he knows what they mean. And so Daniel basically says in this reading, he says to King Nebuchadnezzar, They're right. No, nobody can interpret or tell what somebody else dreamed, but if you'll give me some time here, I know the dream giver. I know who knows the dream and knows the interpretation of it. So if you'll just wait a little bit, give me some time. 19th verse says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now, wasn't that a beautiful thing? He gives, if you've got complexities in your life that you don't understand, for whatever reason or not, you're honest enough to look into your life and say, there's something that don't work right with me. I become dysfunctional in relationship or whatever they may be. You don't know why, do you? Most things are in the secret deep places that we don't understand. But it's also true with those that we deal with. For us to sit and make a judgment for why somebody would do something. Do you know, I think the Lord loves everybody. But there's people with real disadvantages. Life gives that kind of stuff. Warp things in life. God wants to fix that. And he wants us to be ambassadors of the gospel. We're able, through the Spirit of God, to see through that to help them. To be able to understand those kind of mysteries and those kind of things. And for me to say, I know I got a book and I can open it up and here on the page I can say, this is how we have a prescription for what you... No! It's as individual as it can be, and God knows what to do in every situation. Well, this was a hard place, but Daniel went to the Lord, and the Lord revealed it to him in a night vision. What an incredible thing. I don't know how that worked all together. I've had the Lord give me a few visions of things that were incredible, but he was obviously something come into his mind, and he saw exactly that dream, just as Nebuchadnezzar had saw it. And the Lord inspired him with exactly what it meant and what to tell him. So now Daniel goes before, and I can only imagine the scene. Daniel goes before Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm your servant. Oh, heathen king. Daniel, what are you doing there acting like that? You should be stiff and resistant. No, I'm a servant of the Most High God. In wisdom and knowledge, I stand here to present and show how big God is to everybody, to everybody. Well, stands up right in Nebuchadnezzar and says, King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what you dreamed. I imagine he was on, well, on imagination, it don't say, but I imagine, you got it? I got it. You dreamed, you saw an image in your dream. Yes. And it had a gold, yes. That's it. Now what does it mean? Well, this is what it means, old king. Because our God knows all of those deep things about our lives. Lord, help us. We had in Sunday school this morning, I was kind of amazed that it come up with this burden on my heart, but we come up with the story. It was the story of Saul had come up, and Saul's inability. Saul got himself in a place through his disobedience that he sought the Lord. And the Lord didn't hear him. The Lord didn't answer him. He sought to know what he should do. He sought to know whether he should go to battle. A lot at stake there. He wanted to know the future. He wanted the privilege that others had had through God, where God told them, you go ahead and I will give you a great victory. God is the one that sees the future. The devil don't do that. God's the seer of the future. He knows the future. But he went to God to get the answer. But folks, his sin stood before him and God. And the scripture said that he answered him neither by dream nor by priest or prophet. He did not answer his request. And it was mentioned, Brother Doug mentioned in the Sunday school, that his remedy for not knowing was to go seek a witch. When it should have been humbling himself before the Lord into a full repentance and abating till he found forgiveness and a way to get an answer from God. But he didn't. And you say, well, why don't I get my prayers answered? Now, I know that it seems, I'll just say this, what seems like from my reading, not being there and stuff, but some of my reading and stuff, that a lot of times in older saints, if somebody comes to the altar and they come to pray for them, you know, a lot of times they would come and say, how is it with you, brother? I mean, let's deal with this. And recently we was somewhere and it was fixing to have prayer for somebody and it was that actually happened. One of the ministers comes up and said, how is it in your soul? The testimony was, is I'm there. I'm there. I can be prayed for. That's what they said. I'm there. I can be prayed for. And I was like, dang, that's getting right with it. Well, that's where it's at. That's really where it's at. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to help me. Well, is it clear? There's a precedent in the Bible. Saul sought the Lord, but he couldn't be found. He didn't answer. He had got himself into a place that the Lord said, I'm removing this kingdom from you, Saul. And it's gone. I'm going to give it to somebody else. And so he went to try to seek answers through another channel or another way. I got to get an answer here for this. You know, he ended up getting the answer. You can read that passage. It's a little hard to understand, but you can read that passage. And it said Samuel, who had already departed, but the spirit of Samuel had told him, he told him the truth. He said, by this time tomorrow, well, however you interpret it, but you're going to be where I'm at, dead. He prophesied the truth to him there. But you know, we don't have to go through all that, because the one that's greater than the temple has made an access in this life for you and I. And it is not his desire or burden to keep us from the information that we need to be prosperous in this life. And when you really want to understand something about your own life, Lord, help me. Help me to be different than this. Help me to know how to do this. And like I said, the Lord don't always answer it that way. And let it be the Lord. But the Lord don't always come and explain everything to me. But the Lord works. And the Lord will work in our lives. And the most important thing we can have collectively is a bunch of individual people hooked so tightly to the Lord that they get their inspiration and answers from the Lord. It'll be righteous and holy. It'll be the answers that we need to have. And it'll work out the way it should. He wants to lead and guide us into all truth. And that truth is rarely where he tells me the whole truth about you. You need to know that. Lord, help me to know about me. Help me to know what I'm supposed to do in this time. Have you ever wondered whether you got more of a gift than you demonstrated? Have you ever wondered if there's something else that you should do? Well, most people have those thoughts sometimes, and none of us can answer such a question as that. But the Lord knows the answer of it. And so today, Lord, help us to remember this. The one that's greater than the temple is here. That can lead and guide us into the way we should, what we should do. Sometimes we wonder whether to stand firm or to show mercy. Well, we always show mercy and stand firm, but what's the balance between the two? Well, maybe everybody else but here but me's never struggled with some of those balances, but I have struggled with them sometimes. But you'll be surprised how many times I go to the Lord and tell him upright, right in front, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and give it a good prayer and say, Lord, I'm following you. So you lead on. That's all. I lead on. And the Lord just open up and you just, and the Lord just work it right on out. Because one greater than the temple is here, and he knows exactly how to do it. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.